Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God. And so this Friday again, intend to come together. We have opportunity in this country where there is time set aside specifically for Good Friday. I know the world does their own thing, but we do have time to gather together. And there's an acknowledgement of the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago and his death, his burial, and resurrection. And I just thank the Lord that this country for this year acknowledges this. We have a number of services every week, every month, throughout the year. And I want that today, as you hear the word, we'll also have a time to pray for those that are in a time of need. So tonight, help in time of need is what I've entitled tonight's message. And just to get into a little bit of a study here with some of the questions that you can ponder and respond to. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 16. This will be the main text tonight, and we'll bring in a few other things with this. Hebrews 4, verse 16. And in light of Operation Andrew, and I hope that you've been praying for individuals that have been put on your heart by the Lord to invite, not just for Friday or Sunday, but beyond that, to say, hey, come into the house of the Lord. So we're going to take a little bit of time at the end of the service for that as well. But Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I like what it's saying here. The Lord is saying to us to come in boldly. And as a child of God, we can come boldly into the presence of God, to the throne of grace, that grace that is favor, that is unmerited. It is something that we don't deserve, but the Lord is saying, I want to give. I want to bless you. I want for you to receive mercy. I want for you to receive grace, especially as you are in a time and a place of need. What are you going through currently? What are things that are happening in your life right now? I think all of us, if it's not us that's going through something, we know somebody that's going through something. And the question is, what do we do when we're going through difficult times and through times of need? What do you do? We pray. So we can get into his word. We can get into his presence in worship and praise. And here, the Lord is saying, you come boldly to the throne of grace. I want you to come into my presence. I want you to come in boldly. We, as children of God, have the opportunity to come into the presence of God boldly. And how do we get to that place? How do we get there? How do we enter in? And so tonight, I want you to just go back a few verses to verse 14, two verses before. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So there's a directing and a pointing to a high priest who has passed through the heavens. And it gives who this high priest is, Jesus, the Son of God. I just want to focus on this for a few moments. That high priest, not just any high priest that existed throughout some of the ages. Right now, I'm not sure there is a high priest. There might be a high priest, probably not acknowledged very widely if there is one, earthly high priest. Those things have been put aside when it comes to the coming into the Holy of Holies. There is no Holy of Holies here on earth that is a physical structure that was torn down almost 2,000 years ago in AD 70, where the temple was destroyed. And along with it, the different chambers, and especially the Holy of Holies, was destroyed. We have a different high priest. We have a different way, or there's another way that we enter into the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." So he had to be made like his brethren. So that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest. I want you to know tonight that the God that we have, that is our high priest, knows exactly what it is that you're going through, and also knows the temptations that you may have as a human. It says that he came in the form of man so he could know what it was to be human. It says in Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men." So he came in the likeness of man. Did Jesus exist before his coming? Absolutely. Jesus existed from all eternity that we would know. It's kind of hard for us to comprehend. Jesus always existed. The Father always existed. The Holy Spirit always existed. However, there was a point in time, as we would know it, that Jesus came. And he came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, literally, physically, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I just thank the Lord for that. In Hebrews 2, verse 18, it says, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." Are there things that may tempt you at this point? I'm tempted at times with food. I might say, yeah, I shouldn't be eating that. So it says here that he was tempted, he suffered being tempted, and he is able to aid those who are tempted. It's like, thank you, Father, for sending your son Jesus to come in the flesh, just like we're in the flesh, and that he was tempted just like you and I may be tempted, and he is able to help those who are tempted. It's interesting for us as believers, when we're tempted, we have somebody that we know we can go to, and we're being instructed to come in boldly to the throne of grace. I want to sort of offset that today with people that you may know that have temptation just like you, and they have nowhere and no one to go to. They have no one to go to. Or if they do, it's either they turn to themselves, to their strength, to their willpower, or they turn to somebody else. They turn to agencies, they turn to programs, they turn to whatever counselor they can find that might be able to help them with the temptations that they're going through, the struggles they're going through. They're not normally turning to God. We have a high priest who knows what it is to be tempted, and he's there to help us, to aid those who are tempted. I thank the Lord. Yes, an unbeliever can cry out to God. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, you know this passage. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I think a lot of times the unbeliever just throws something out there to God. God, if you're there, help me. If they're crying with all their heart, I believe, and maybe you've experienced this yourself as an unbeliever, crying out to God and God spared your life. Or you look back as a believer and you look back at times in your life and you realize, oh my goodness, God was with me. I acknowledge that. He was watching over me in the worst of times. He was there in time of need, even as I cried out to him. He answered and he spared me. I think even as unbelievers, you might have been in that situation, and sometimes it's even a place of temptation, maybe not a place so much of the need for salvation so much, but definitely in a place of temptation where you cry out to God, God, help me in this. I know that he is there for us even when we seek him or search for him with all our heart. I like what it says about Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And he wasn't really a believer, as in having given his life to the Lord, because he didn't even know that was something that needed to be done or could be done. And how many people that we know are in exactly a position where they may be religious, they may take time to pray, but they have no relationship with God. And this thing of what we have to be able to come into the presence of God Almighty boldly, to the throne of grace, to receive, obtain mercy, and find grace, even as we have the need before us. And we consider those that are not in that place of relationship with God, they don't even know about it, that we as believers would give them the opportunity to know what we know when we're in the worst of times. That we would be there to bring Christ to them. this high priest that we have is perfect for us. In Hebrews 7, verse 26, it says, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless." Sometimes this word harmless, it's like when we're in a place of need, and maybe it's even regarding temptation or struggle with something, oftentimes we would think that God is there to judge us. And as we would come to him, this thing of being harmless, as in, hey, just like with this woman that was caught in adultery, he says, "I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." And the heart of God is that we would get into right standing with him. So this high priest was fitting for us, was perfect for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. I think sometimes when it comes to sin and somebody else saying, "Oh, it's all right, it's not that bad." Everybody, come on. Everybody sins like that. It's not that bad. Oftentimes that's where the unbeliever or the sinner that continues on their sin, they would acknowledge, or not so much acknowledge, but direct you in that place of saying, "It's okay, it's not that bad." And here, the Lord rather saying, "Hey, I want you to get out of that situation. I want you to get out of that sin that is controlling, is dominating, is overwhelming you. I want you to, you can get out of this. I want to give you grace and mercy to get out, to have help in this time." Seeing then, or let me finish verse 27. Hebrews 7, verse 27, "Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. He was the sacrifice, and he was without sin, taking our sins upon him and being the sacrifice for us." In the Old Testament, the priests had to make sacrifice for themselves before they could make sacrifice for the people, because they were in the same condition as those that were coming with their sins and with the struggles and the burdens, the prison that they are in. But Jesus, "For this he did once for all when he offered up himself on the cross. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." I just want to go over this thing of our confession. This same statement, or very similar, is made in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope." In the King James Version, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Hallelujah. The verses leading up to this, verse 23, says, again, it's about entering in to come boldly to the throne of grace. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest," or into the presence of God, "by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil," that veil being his flesh. Just like the veil was torn in two, I've mentioned this a number of times in the last number of weeks. The veil in the Old Testament represented his flesh. And even as the veil was torn in two, his body was broken for us, his blood shed for us. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so even as we come in with this assurance, full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, we are cleansed and made holy, even by the confession of our faith, that our faith is in Jesus. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hallelujah. In Romans 10, verse 8, again, I've read this a number of times over the last number of months, but what does it say? The word is near you. This confession is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This thing of confession from our mouth and in our heart, in our mouth and from our heart. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, to be in right standing with God, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want you to know, and I want this to be made relevant and real to you in your situations. Because oftentimes, when it comes to this passage, it is used for a point of salvation, to have salvation. And when we make this confession of our faith in Jesus Christ, and we believe in our hearts, we are saved, and we are saved in regards to where we are at spiritually. But the word salvation and the word saved is inclusive of other things. And I want you to get this picture as well, because oftentimes it's like, well, I know I'm saved, and you are saved. But listen to what the word saved by definition is sozo, and it means to save or keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. So the things that would be unsafe for you, or you need to be rescued from this danger or this thing of destruction that is coming from you, there is a point of being able to have salvation or be saved or be safe from it. This is where the Lord is saying, not just with salvation, and I don't want to minimize our salvation spiritually, because it's way beyond just the physical and also the mental and emotional. It's beyond our body and soul. It's also inclusive of our spirit and where we're going to spend eternity. But I want you to recognize this is also for us when it comes to where we're at physically and where we're at in our mind and our emotions, to be kept safe, to have or to save a suffering one or one from perishing, example, i.e. one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, restore, to health. To preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue. So this thing of salvation, truly, as we would cry out to the Lord in our situation, the Lord hears even for us, or he hears for the sake of us physically as well. I can remember, I shared this, I think, a few months back. This was back in the 70s. We were on our way to church, and was sitting up front of a five-seated vehicle with five seatbelts. Back then, seatbelts were sort of just coming out. Hey, wear a seatbelt, right? So I was, 14, 15 years of age, and perched in the front between my mom and dad because we had one extra spot. So there was our family of five plus this one person. So I was sitting in the front between my mom and dad. It was winter time, and someone got pushed out onto the street where we were driving on Schisler Road, coming from Welland to Niagara Falls. They got pushed out right in front of my dad, or I don't know what he was doing, maybe 80 kilometers in an 80-kilometer zone. So he's driving along, so he pulls to the left to avoid hitting this guy, and just as he pulls to the left, the guy turns and makes a left turn, and we go into him. We smash into the back of the vehicle. I don't know about you. I think some of you may have been in an accident, and you recognize how quickly things are happening, and I guess in some ways it goes into slow motion. I can remember the only thing that I had a chance to say as we hit that car at 80 kilometers an hour on the corner was to shout his name, Jesus. That's all I had a chance to say. And I can remember because the mirror was right in front of my head, the rear view mirror. And I didn't hit that mirror. I just want to say, yeah, my mom was in the passenger seat in the front. For whatever reason, the seat belt was behind her. She wasn't buckled in. And here's the power of God, even in an accident. Even as I said, Jesus, I believe there was a wrapping of protection around my mother who hit the windshield and cracked the windshield from the inside of the car. And yet she went, after that, there was no, I don't know, there was no blood, there was no injury as far as I knew, even with her head hitting that windshield. The Lord is saying to us, he is saying that salvation is not just the spiritual aspect, but the Lord wants to be our salvation for us physically and mentally and emotionally in our body and in our soul as well. And so we can have this salvation to be saved come by our confession of faith. Your confession of faith. So hold fast your confession of faith. And sometimes all we can say is Jesus. And there's this saving that comes. Hallelujah. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, to keep us safe and sound, to rescue us from danger or destruction. Hallelujah. Salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word salvation is soteria. Is the Greek word, is deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation, deliverance from the enemy or the attacks of the enemy, the molestation of the enemy. It includes, in an ethical sense, that which concludes to the soul's safety or salvation or the messianic salvation. We're talking spiritually as we place our faith in Jesus Christ to have salvation. And is the presence possession of all true Christians as they place their faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on a cross. 2,000 years ago, and we have salvation, which includes a future salvation, not just from the past sins and the present, but also the future, the sum benefits of benefits and blessings which the Christians, redeemed from all earthly ills, will enjoy after the visible return of Christ from heaven in the consummated and eternal kingdom of God. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And there's salvation, a fourfold salvation, as one has said. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin. We're saved from the presence of sin. And we're saved from the pleasure of sin. All those different things. We are saved. We have salvation. So this confession of faith, another passage, it says in Revelation 12, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." And so there's this overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, our confession of faith, and by the word of their testimony, the confession of faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us, the blood of the Lamb shed for us, even in the face of death. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." I just thank the Lord that God has raised us up to the heavenlies, even while we're here on this earth. He's raised us up. And that even the things, I want you to, at this time, I want you to recognize the hope that you have in Christ and the salvation that you have in Christ. And I want you to recognize and realize there are people that don't have what you and I have. And over the course of this week and in the coming weeks and the coming months, and should the Lord tarry, perhaps the coming years, let us bring people to the place of salvation and relationship with the Lord that you and I have. Let them have opportunity to experience that, that their confession of faith would be in Jesus Christ and him crucified, because there is no way that they can overcome without him. And we have the answer to share with them. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." The Lord sympathizes with our weaknesses. So some say, man, I struggle in this area, and the Lord knows it. And the Lord is saying, I want you to come to me. I want you to come boldly to me. Don't try to deal with this on your own. Come to me, to the throne of grace, of favor, and I want to give you mercy and grace in the time of need that you're going through. I want to help you through this. So often we look wherever we are, we get so frantic with where we're at. And in these times of need, as we feel, I'm all by myself. Nobody else is going through this. And we continue to look at the problem and the mountain and the situation, not realizing the Lord is with us to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. As it says, "But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And even as he overcame, he's saying, I want for you to overcome as well. Hang on to that profession, that confession of your faith, Jesus Christ. and him crucified, as Paul put it in a nutshell. Deny yourself. This is what Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 32, I believe. It says, he said, if you're going to be my disciples, deny yourself, your efforts, your righteousness, your capabilities, deny yourself. Take up the cross daily. Daily, take up the cross. Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, that's taking up the cross. A recognition, a confession of our faith. My faith is in the one that died for me, in the blood of the Lamb that was shed for me. And I make that confession of faith, and the power of God is made available to us. And then follow him. Deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow him, and we can. And he will bring us to a place to obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Again, the unbeliever, those that you know, maybe it's a son or a daughter, maybe it's your father or mother, an aunt or uncle, cousins that don't know the Lord. They're basically on their own in the situation. In situations, you know what? When you are willing to take a little bit of time, may I say this? If you're willing to take a little bit of time for the needs of others, I'll tell you, they will open up to you to give you an opportunity to pray for them. I just got into a situation yesterday, and all I was transporting with my wife. I was transporting an individual from their home to a place, to another place, and back home. That's all I had to do. And just with one or two questions about this individual's situation, took another half an hour or more just to hear where she was at, what she's going through, and to begin to have an opportunity to pray for her situation. So oftentimes it's like, okay, yeah, I can help, but I don't want to get too involved. It's not none of my business. Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just a simple question as you look across at the person. So I just looked at the person, and they were sitting beside me in the passenger seat. I just looked at them, and I could see there was something in her eyes. Basically, it was just, hey, so what's going on here? What's happening in your life? And there was just this opening up. And we as children of God have the opportunity to pray powerfully for them. And sometimes we're talking extremely negative situations that are so far beyond us. And we bring that person, we come to the throne of grace, we come to Jesus Christ, who is wanting to give favor, to give mercy and grace in the time of need so that we can minister to somebody else. And it's amazing, if you are willing to be open and to take just a little bit of time and not be afraid to say, hey, where are you at? You will have an opportunity to be used by the Lord. And so often we're just so caught up. And even when we're interacting with people, we don't get deep. Don't want to get too deep with them. And so there's no point of ministering Jesus to bring them to the high priest and to bring them before the throne of grace, or at least bring their needs before the throne of grace. I say, hey, I don't pray well or whatever. Hey, I'll tell you, you don't have to pray like some, I don't know, just a matter of being open to God, recognizing you can come and say, hey, Lord, here's the need. Can you take care of that need? Can you take care of that need? Hallelujah. We've had miracles take place. We've had miracles take place in this church just in the last few weeks. Just this morning, I had a miracle that was reported to me. There was prayer after church on Sunday. Lady had been here, met her for the first time. Lady had been here in this area for a number of months and was looking for work. Just had to pray, hey, Lord, can you open up doors and let it happen quickly so she knows? I found out today that the person, the answer to prayer was the very next day. They started work and they're working an entire Monday to next Monday. Every single day. They hadn't had work for weeks and months since they came to the country. They haven't had any work. And there was an answer to prayer. Don't say, oh, well, I have to be a pastor or I have to be an elder in the church. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to work through you. And we're not talking just for the believers. We are talking for the unbeliever to bring them to a place that they can acknowledge that God is real. That God cares for them and loves them and wants to show himself strong so that they can get to a place to believe in the God that loves us and gave his son for us. Hallelujah. I just say, thank you, Lord. So Jesus Christ, we go to Jesus, the Son of God, the High Priest. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Steer a person to Christ. And say, man, they've messed up. They're sinners. I don't want to get involved. You find out about something. I know I'm not going to get involved. Who am I to get him? You know, it's none of my business. No, listen, if it's a brother and sister and they've fallen, it is our business. As those that are mature, restore those that have fallen with a spirit of gentleness. Not that we say, hey, I'm better than you are or whatever. Some of the situations that are coming up, it's like, oh my goodness, this is so far beyond me. I thank God for his word. Tonight the word is, let those problems that are so far beyond you, let's bring them to the high priest, the Son of God, who wants us to come in boldly into the throne room of grace. So that the person can receive grace. Hallelujah. So tonight, we've got about 15 minutes or so. I want to make application of this word. And that you would be praying. That you would make a prayer to come boldly before the throne of grace. That where they are, that they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this morning, we had opportunity to pray in the second session. But I just want to say, and it didn't hit me, brother, you had mentioned something before I went out on the trip. Then when we went out on our trip, Julie and I. But you had said, hey, pray mercy and grace on those individuals that you're going to be with. Pray this mercy and grace. And it didn't hit me this morning until I was reading, going through passages. It was like this passage came up about that they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so, brother, as tonight we have opportunity to pray or bring people into a place to receive mercy and grace that they don't deserve. They don't deserve it. It's not like, hey, man, we want to pray judgment on them. No, let's pray mercy, the mercy and grace of God all over them. So they may obtain it, I'll tell you. So that was, I think we were together on the Thursday of that week. On Saturday, we flew down to Florida. And the very next day, Sunday, I had opportunity to spend 4 hours, almost 4 hours, and I didn't even initiate the conversation. It was till 2 o'clock in the morning. And I like what happened. There was mercy and grace extended as there was prayer that went up by name for all those that were on the trip related. That was on the Sunday at the beginning. The last thing that was said by one of these individuals, hey, we need to get together for a coffee, was like, thank you, Lord. We need to get together for a coffee to obtain mercy and grace. So the application of today, we're coming to the high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, and we're going to pray. You pray. I don't want you to get into big groups. I want you to get into groups of two or three, all right? And so that way, the people that are on your heart, you pray for them. You say, what do I pray? You're praying, Lord, and this is the passage, and if I could have our tech just put up Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to read one verse or a few verses from Matthew 18 and 21st. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two, just two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you may ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So we're gathering in twos and threes. The Lord is in your midst as you are gathering together in his name, in Jesus' name. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we and they that we're praying for may obtain mercy and find grace to help, to have that help in time of need. And so for many, it's like, man, they need salvation. Lord, give them mercy and grace to get it. So if I can have you move and get in twos and threes. If you do want, there are lists. And I know some of you may have put it in afterwards, which is fine. If you want to take some of these with you, that's fine. I'll leave them up here. If one person in your group wants to grab two or three of them, that's fine. Or one of them, that's fine. But if I could have you just move quickly now into groups of two and three. If you don't have somebody, there might be another person you're looking around and say, oh, they're not with anybody either. So we're going to get together. So at the end, everybody should be in a group of two or three. Thanks so much for joining us. And we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.